Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Up to 33 symptoms, including brain fog and persistent fatigue, lasting in most cases for at least a year. That's the burden of long COVID, according to new Irish research by UCC, Cork University Hospital and Long COVID Advocacy Ireland. The study found 89% of people have not yet returned to their pre-COVID health, with 60% missing work days. Well, for more on this landmark study, we're joined now by Professor Karina Sadlier, infectious diseases consultant at Cork University Hospital, and also Tania Buwalda of Long COVID Advocacy Ireland, and you're both welcome to the programme this evening. Karina, I might start with yourself, and could you maybe talk us through the study and its findings, because I know it identified a huge variety of symptoms.
So this survey, the purpose was to look at the impact that Long COVID is having in an Irish context in terms of health, in terms of quality of life, in terms of return to normal function and ability to return to work for those suffering from long COVID. So I suppose initially to mention that about 60% of participants who have long COVID in the survey had a mild or asymptomatic initial COVID infection. As you said, almost 90% of those who responded said they hadn't returned to baseline health. And this was at more than 12 months. So we're seeing large proportions of people experiencing prolonged symptoms. I suppose the other interesting finding is that the symptoms that they're experiencing are multi-system. Fatigue was the commonest reported symptom, but we're also seeing a lot of people reporting difficulties with memory, chest pain, breathing difficulties, musculoskeletal symptoms. So the symptoms are really broad ranging, and symptoms are relapsing and remitting over time. We are seeing a small proportion, about 30% of long COVID sufferers said that they are seeing improvement with time, but more than 60% felt their symptoms really were persisting or were deteriorating over time, which is concerning.
And important to say, there's almost 1,000 people who took part in the survey, Karina. Stay with us if you don't mind, because as I said, we also have Tania Buwalda on the line, and you're very welcome, Tania, to the programme. You were involved in designing this study with clinicians, and you have long COVID yourself. So can you tell us a little bit about your own experience of long COVID? Because I understand, for example, you need to go to bed at 5 p.m. every day.
I know. I'm the opposite of a night owl. I got COVID quite mildly in March 2020 in the first wave. I wasn't sick enough to be hospitalised. I got through it very easily. I kind of went, phew, dodged a bullet. And lo and behold, 6 weeks later, I started with very significant long COVID symptoms, which developed to the point where I was bedridden by November 2020. And it's slowly gotten better, but we're talking 2.5 years post infection, and it's only now that I would be maybe 70% better. So I'm still not 100%.
And how has that affected your life then?
It affects everything, to be honest. Your energy levels, which fatigue is one of the symptoms that Karina mentioned, and I certainly suffer a lot from that. You have to manage your energy very carefully, so that if you know you have to work or if you know you have to drive, you literally can't do anything else for the rest of the day. So socializing, social life, exercise, anything like that is completely off the cards. So it's life limiting in terms of how it affects me and thousands, tens of thousands of people in Ireland, in fact.
And in terms then of your work life and your family life, you know, how have you coped with that?
At times I haven't. At times it's been extraordinarily difficult to be able to cope with what chronic fatigue and this illness can do to you. When your little kids want you to play with them or do activities and you physically just can't. It's been very, very difficult at times. I get strength from the support groups that we're a part of in Ireland, but it's still not enough.
Is there any treatment or therapy or help that you've received that has helped?
There are some things that do help. A lot of it has been a journey of discovery for myself because I was the early wave. Long COVID wasn't even recognised when I already had it. So I've had to discover and experiment on myself to a large extent. And long COVID clinics are not very accessible. There's very few of them. There's very few spaces. There's long waiting lists. And so most of the long COVID community, including myself, have to actually try and help ourselves.
And Karina, I might get back to you on that aspect of it because I don't think at this point, and maybe you might correct me, but I don't think we at this point have any real grasp on the scale of how many people in Ireland are suffering from long COVID.
We don't have exact numbers, Sarah, but I suppose data would suggest that, you know, 10 to 20% of acute COVID infections will result in symptoms persisting beyond 3 months, so long COVID-type symptoms. Certainly, a proportion of these patients will improve with time, but as new infections occur, long COVID cases will emerge again. So just because you've had COVID once and have gotten over the initial infection, you may have a second infection with COVID and may experience long COVID following a second infection.
Okay. So just to put a figure on that, I don't know, would you have a figure? Would that be like 100,000 or 200,000 or do we have any idea?
So I think the long COVID program have estimated that it could be up to 300,000 people at any one time. People may improve and recover and drop off the number, but there may be reinfections or new infections resulting in patients experiencing long COVID-type symptoms.
Because if you had 300,000 people and you applied the findings of this survey to those 300,000, that 90% of them haven't returned to full health, you have a really big health problem on your hands, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think it is being recognised internationally now that long COVID is going to have significant impacts, in terms of individual health, in terms of, I suppose, pressures on the health service, you know, and from a societal perspective, you know, in terms of people's ability to work, in terms of people's ability to carry out their usual daily functions, as Tanya has described.
Tanya, what would be the single most helpful thing that could happen from a policy perspective or government perspective or health perspective for you now?
There's a few things. It's not just one. Okay. I've got a laundry list. The first is to involve patients in the design of any treatment guidelines, because revolutionary for UCC and for studies, they involved patients in the very design of the study, which meant it really got to the heart of the problem and represented very well the patient voice and the patient experience. And I think that needs to be replicated against any going forward in terms of any design for long COVID. This, as you said, is going to be a very, very serious long-term issue. And we're not talking about just a few little clinics here and there. We're talking about a long systemic change in terms of what we need to get access, because this is a multidisciplinary illness. You can't just send a person off to a cardiologist or some other specialist. You've got to look at the whole organism and be able to treat them as a whole. There's actually a Doyle motion this week that I'm hoping people who have long COVID who might be listening to this, or indeed their families who have a little bit more energy, might be able to email their TDs and seek support for that Doyle motion on long COVID this week in the Doyle.
All right. Well, thank you both very much for joining us to discuss it. That's Karina Sadlier and Tanya Buwaldi. And let us know what you think to 51551.